Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, indeed, we can.
Great, thank you. Yeah, it's so great to see you all there. I really genuinely wish I was there. I am lucky to live in the mountains, but I don't have like a pub that I can go to and do that. And I wish that I did. About 20 minutes ago, my partner said to me, "Have fun in Ireland." And we were kidding, but now I know we weren't kidding. I really feel like I'm there. So thanks. It was fun to get to watch the end of your 5-word challenge. I didn't hear what the words were, but I picked up on them. And I'm sorry that I don't think I have any pixelation or devils or hell in the poems I'm going to read you tonight. But maybe some of next week's words. We'll see. So here's my book. This is The More Extravagant Feast. I'm just going to read a few from this book tonight. And because you know how you all know, you're all poets, you know how it goes, that poems that seem like the most important ones in the world then feel like they were written by someone in a different time of their life before long. So I'll read from the book, and then I'll read from my new book, which is not a book yet. But for now, let's read from this one. We'll start with Field Guide to the Chaparral. The fire beetle only mates when the chaparral is burning, and the water beetle will only mate in the rain. In the monastery kitchen, the nuns don't believe me when I tell them how old I am, that you were married before. The woman you find attractive does not believe me when I look at her kindly. There are candescent people in the world. It will only be love that I love you with. When we get home, there will be our kitchen, the dishes undone. There will be our bedroom. What is it you eventually recognized in my face that allowed you to believe me? Beauty that did not come from you? Remember how it did not come from you? As white sage does not come from the moon, but is found by it and lit. The Buddhists say that the front of the paper cannot exist without the back. Because there is a there, there is a here. Chaparral, the density of growth, and the tattered chaps the mappers wore through it because they had to keep walking without being hurt. It is okay if we hurt one another. Chaparral needs fire. The pine cones cannot open otherwise. Love needs lover, whose last lover was flood. And it ought to have occurred to me before reading that, do you all know the chaparral? Is that a term anywhere in your world? I'll take a second then. Yeah, maybe someone in the back. Yeah, the teacher in me wants to call on you. I don't know if that's totally absurd from another continent, but.
I know it's a North American herb.
Also, I can't really hear you, but.
She's saying that she knows it as a herb, a North American herb.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. That is probably true. I'm gonna look that up. It's also a ecosystem in Southern California that is fire-based. So that's the central metaphor that I was working with. But you know, one of these ecosystems that needs fire in order to thrive. Great. All right. Venison. The deer is still alive in the roadside grass. In an hour, we'll cut her open, her left hip broken, the bone in her dark body. Now the white Camaro, shocked in the night, and the boy, wet-faced in the back seat, his parents at a loss by the hood, too young to have meant any of it, the giving or taking. They are glad for our headlights, glad for our rifle. Her head still on, she hangs outside our kitchen window for the blood to drip, skin pulled down like a shirt. I watch my husband undress her with a knife. I wash the blue plates. When I turn the water off, I can hear his blade unmoor muscle, sail through her fascia. We put her leg and buttock on the wooden table where we will gather her between us to eat all year. It is all I see, a thing, alive, slowly becoming my own body. I appreciate the clapping. I think it's really helpful because you're so far away to know that, yes, you heard that, you received it. Thank you. So I live in the mountains and it's raining. I don't know if you can see outside my window, but it's raining here. But we live in an ecological community here. So we grow most of our own food and we hunt, as you could see from that poem. And there's hunting in the next poem too. And when the book came out, I heard from a lot of vegans about the hunting poems in the book. And if any of you want to have that conversation with me, I would love to have that conversation with you. I was vegan for like 15 years before we started hunting. I will say that it has really bound us to this place. And as I hope is apparent in the poems, it's pretty magical to become the place by literally taking on the body of another being. Is there a vegan joke happening there?
They just finished your sentence. They said it's great to become the place by eating it.
By eating it. Exactly. Literally becoming it. Great. And that's what this book is very much about. And it's about, it follows the arc of two pregnancies in and out of time. But it's really about eating. It's about becoming the place by eating it. But then it's also about my body becoming the bodies of my children. So that trophic exchange from the land to my body, to my children's bodies. The more extravagant feast. The buck is thawing a halo on the frosted ground, shot in our field pre-dawn. Last night we pulled a float in the Christmas parade. It was lit by 1,000 tiny lights. My daughter rode in my lap and was thrilled when the floats followed us. Ours is a small town. Everyone was there, and their faces, not seeing ours, fixed behind us. We're an open sea, a compound sea of seas that parted under our gaze, and Santa was bright, though my daughter shied from the noise of him. She studied the red and white fur of his suit. She woke this morning when the rifle fired outside. I lifted her to see the sunrise and her father kneeling above the buck's body in the middle distance. She asked if they would be cold. I brought him gloves and warm water, knelt with him in the spare light by the buck who steamed, whose liver and heart kept so long dark, spilled onto the winter grass, whose open eyes saw none of it, realized nothing of my husband's knife, slicing open his abdomen, his rectum. The puncture of his diaphragm startled me more than the gunshot. Opening a cavern of blood that poured over his white belly. I did not understand the offering, but loved it. The fur, red, white, incoherent, somehow cleaner. When I come back in, she asks me to draw a picture of her father on the hill. I pick her up, the miracle of her lungs that grew inside me, kept long dark. Her working heart let out into the rounder world, the more extravagant feast. The miracle of her dad on the hill as we draw him in his big coat, warm. Afterward, how he and I hold each other differently, feeling the collections of muscles and organs held somehow together, the miracle of bodies formed whole like fruits, skins unruptured and containing the world. So everyone, that was me 4 years ago, which is great. And it feels like a long time ago. So I'm going to read you some new poems. Is that okay? That's what I want to do. So I hope it's okay with you. So these are poems from my new book, which is nearly finished. And I thought I was going to read more from the old book. And then as I was watching you all be vulnerable in front of each other and take risks, I thought that would be good for me to do too. So I'm gonna try these out on you. And you'll notice that the children are older, which happens. Yeah, maybe that's all I'll say for now. So here's one called Somewhere She's Learned. Somewhere she's learned that color is not color. The red flower, she tells me, absorbs all light but red, so reflects red where she and I can see it. Daughter, I call her, pulse of light, prism of many faces I know, so many I don't. You are particular, wave of the one deep ocean, and she absorbs it all, except daughter, which reflects back to my eye, radiant and factual as any prayer named for the very thing it cannot hold. So I have a whole series of these poems that start with the line, Somewhere She's Learned. You can throw that into your challenge, see what you guys come up with and send me your Somewhere She's Learned poems. But yeah, it's true. Apparently at some point your children who are, you know, start out inside of you, eventually start learning things that you didn't teach them in the world. So that's what this series is about. And so here's another one from that series. It's called Actual Poem. Somewhere my daughter has learned that the actual colors of leaves appear in fall. What I know about chlorophyll, I could tell you. It wouldn't help. The poem is in the leaf my daughter imagined, which cloaked some actual thing, some flock of pigments to free. Is it my actual mother I see? At almost 70, the frame of her mother revealed and finally polished, patina from so many hands. On the conservative talk show, a liberal guest shows a photo, a fetus, asking, "So you believe this is a human life?" Then revealing the embryo is actually a dolphin's. For a moment, I cannot see either dolphin or child. Only a rope of cells between them, a trophic yoke from guest to host, marbled in the meat, then marbled in the belly, a pull start pulley in me, turned into me, then into the embryo I bear, nursing babe, clothed girl who learns her facts at school. What has it grown, this mind that feels it must know its own opinion? When the pigments fade, the actual leaf is brown, is actually dirt when decomposed, is actually the sprout again, the tree, the acorn the deer will eat before I eat him. Somewhere I have learned that in the human body, a leaf takes its actual form, that in the human brain, it powers the fulcrum of actual, a lever weighted to say, you thought you knew, but now you know. Poor mind, always darting away with the prize. Stay with me here. Look at the leaves. This is fun. I'm figuring out how these poems read out loud. You guys are, I feel like I'm, you're my friends. Thank you. I feel like I'm trying some things out. It's helpful. All right. All right. The transitive property of song. Oh, and this one starts with an epigraph from Smithsonian Magazine. It's a quote that says, "Birds sing to their eggs, and this song may help their babies survive climate change." Of course they sing. We have given them no other verb. And because sing is what I do to my girl in the dark rocking chair, I call it the same. I conceive of myself, gentle as the wren, master of my singing, signals born through my body, the birds, every loving thing, just converting nouns to verbs for survival, air into breathe, sunlight to grow, infinite grammars I can't make or know. Some things are verbs, you'll learn. Fire and flood, yield and smile, I teach you, never knowing I do. You will make it if they like you. You are listening. Let us imagine it then as song. Harmony nested in the dark, humming live, 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 intransitive. I am humming. I am hummed. Singing is happening. Song is being sung. I like that you can't tell when they're done until I smile at you and then you all clap. So thanks for humoring me. Okay, I'm going to skip this one. It's long. We don't need a long poem because it's late there, right? Cool. We'll stick with short ones. All right. Okay. This one's called Terrestrials. Oh, and by the way, you've noticed a lot of nature in these. I mean, that's generally what I do, but also I'm so excited to read with Jane, who's out there in the room somewhere, and she is a biologist. Hi, Jane. I'm so excited to hear your poems, and I love that you are actually a biologist. So, you know, tell me where I went wrong here, but I love that we have so much similar interests in our work. Terrestrials. Last night, you kept her up past bedtime, watching clips from ET on your phone, explaining why Reese's Pieces were cooler than other candies in the 80s, why Elliot felt weak when ET did. So she was tired when you woke her, as you'd promised, to walk the ridge at dawn, both of you in the hand-me-down camo and orange hats of our friend, whose chemo has made hunting tough. His laugh, how none of it fits him now anyway. While you walked, she had a few questions. What extraterrestrials is, and if after ET went home, he and Elliot stayed connected at such distance. I mean, she said, did they feel the same as each other from there? What she wanted was their lives after the ending. Even a sad story, the mind prefers to no story at all. Always tuned for movement in the woods, an antler, a branch on which to hang some meaning, the heavy coat camouflaging as though it belongs. She feels. Sometimes I know what she feels. Together, we want a story before sleep. Her orange hat blowing up the ridge in the fog beside yours as she walks in beats like the glowing heart of an extraterrestrial. This creature landed here with you for now. I have two more. You want to hear two more? Does that sound right? Yeah. Great. Thank you. All right. Whoever you are, thank you. Okay. All right, this one's super fresh. This is probably my most recent one. Okay, gearing up for the holiday season. It's called Valentine's. My mother showed me to fold a heart in half to make it even. Good feminist of the 80s, she told me I was smart, capable, told anyone in the store, the voting line. Not pretty, smart. It was simple, two sides to a heart. I drive my daughters home through the dark and can barely see outside, the dome light grainy as a photograph. It cordons my sight, but they need it to see it all, they say. They are practicing their hearts, their crayons pressed, blunt, the arc of their seatbelts toward an unmarked center in the back seat, toward one another's reaching for an example. How, my daughter wants to know, do you make it even? I wish I could pull over, steady her hand, but I'm strapped in my seat too, facing forward as I must, straining to see what she can't and what she's asking about being a girl, about where we're going. I know better than to speak into the unseen dark any truth I can't show her, but there is nowhere to pull over. A heart is made of two question marks, I say. Do they touch? She wants to know. All right. Final poem, and I'll go ahead and thank you all again. I really wish I were there, although I feel so lucky that I could skip the really long flight and be there with you this way. The Age of Affection. Thank you, moon, for following across the pond while I walked, for bringing me to the shore to say goodnight. The affection of your speech is inside me. That is exactly where I want it. Has anyone I've loved ever been anywhere else? You followed over the field, too, and into the house, though the grass did not reflect you, or the Milky Way rising, as I can sometimes witness, even from inside it.
I hope you can hear that applause, Leah. That was really beautiful, and rest assured, you most definitely are in the room. Your presence is felt for sure, and your voice has filled the room and our heads and hearts. So thank you very much for joining us tonight. Yeah!